From KCRW, this is Here Be Monsters. And in this episode, we'll be discussing many things, including mental illness, suicide, and animal sacrifice. We have more information about the content of this episode, and all our episodes, on our website, hbmpodcast.com. Okay, here's the show.
This is, I pat this and I clean your aura. Hmm. I don't know.
What is this made out of here?
The cow. Hmm. Un tail cow.
A cow tail.
A cow tail. Hmm. And when you want to talk to the santo, you take the bell and you talk to the santo.
Could you tell me your name and maybe where you grew up?
My name is Florencia. I grew up in town, the name is Hibara. And I come to United States long time, in 1958. I have 5 children.
When I was a kid, I always felt that I was like Pippi Longstockings. You know, everything got in my way, like dinner, my parents, school. They were just holding me back from, you know, as the Instagrammers say, living my best life, you know, which I hate that, but I was that kid, you know. And then when did that change, you know? And it changed in my 40s. You know, then all of a sudden, you know, the seeds of doubt were sown. When I was a kid growing up, we had a basement apartment. And, you know, you would see things like you would go into the bathroom, there'd be chickens in the bathroom or a goat in the bathroom ready to be sacrificed. So we did see, you know, things like that. And they just became normal. You know, you get used to it. That's what Pop does on the weekends. You know, he sees people, they sacrifice a couple of chickens, and that's what they do. Have you ever killed a chicken for food? No. So you take it by the head, you just snap its neck, you know, and then you cut the neck off. You know, so you, like an underhand grab of the neck and a quick twist, and it's, you know, it's a very fast thing. They sacrifice a chicken over you, and you feel the blood over your head and your neck. And, you know, you're 6 years old, and that's some heavy duty stuff.
Can you just tell me about that ceremony?
Sure. So that was my father's initiation ceremony. I mean, he just looked so proud and regal and happy. So what they do with somebody that gets initiated, it's a very special festive occasion, you know, and he's given foods and stuff. He's dressed all in white with the clothes that he'd later be buried in. They shave your head. You wear this little white cap and you dress all in white. For a year, you can't go out in the rain, you can't go out at night. They tell you what to eat, what to do. I mean, your whole life is planned out for you from that moment on. You know, what foods you can and cannot eat, what jobs you can and cannot do, and that's what's called the ita. So whenever my father had, there was a big decision or something, you know, monumental, he would refer back to his book and says, oh, I got to be careful for this. I got to, you know, they warned me of that. And he was very comforted by this thing, this faith of his, because he had the book to prove it. He had his guidebook, you know, that spelled out everything to the day he dies. So going back to my parents invited this young guy over, or my mother did, who would read the shells like my father would do, the same type of divinity with the shells.
What's that called again?
Caracoles, seashells. That's what they're called. After, when they were done, my father said, oh, I was initiated under the number whatever, whatever. And the young guy said, that number means the death of a child. you need to be careful. And my father says, no, that's not what that number means. And they got into a theoretical, you know, argument over the interpretation of that number and what it means. So that's the only time we were told that about Vanessa. Could it have been prevented? Why didn't my father know? Was it supposed to happen and no Oresha, no sacrificing a chicken was going to stop that? You know, Christians would tell you, well, God is mysterious, there's a plan, you know, don't worry about it, it all gets sorted out at the end. Santeria is very much like of the moment, like, you know, and there's little comfort in that.
I mean, actually, you know, when you say Santeria is of the moment, I actually, based off what you've told me, what I've read, that doesn't actually sound right, because you get a book that tells you the rest of your life.
The rest of your life, but that's short term. That's, you know, until you're 80, and then what happens? So you die and...
Do you still have the book?
Yes.
Is it here somewhere?
It's in the basement.
Here Be Monsters, the podcast about
Amaranthus, Castile soap flakes, ashes, and dirt from his godfather's house.
The podcast about
the unknown.
So this is where we watch movies. We do the projector. Yeah. This, when my father was alive, this was his place. This is where he would see people to do the fortune telling. I mean, this place would be packed with people waiting for him.
Where did he sit?
He would sit there. So I had a recliner for him here, and then I had a old-fashioned TV set. We always say that it feels like he's here. It feels like he's going to come up any moment and ask for coffee. You know, because that's the only time he would go upstairs, you know. I mean, he was always down here, and we never felt that he left.
I have an embarrassing question.
Sure.
Do I say your name wrong?
How do you say my name?
Maritza
Gulen.
Could have swore when I was talking to your mom that your mom calls you Maritza.
You're more the Eve, yeah. Right. But she says Marisa, Mari.
Is that more of an endearing name?
Yeah, okay.
I'm going to ask you a very complicated question.
Okay.
What is Santeria?
The way that I've always known it, that it's a Yoruba religion from West Africa that was brought over by slaves to Cuba, Brazil, to the Caribbean islands, and that they mixed it with Catholicism and came up with Santeria, you know, since they couldn't practice their own religions from their homeland, this was a way to make it more palatable to their Spanish slaveholders. You know, probably say, no, this isn't voodoo. Look, we believe in these saints just like you do, where they found a lot of commonalities between the Orishas and the Catholic saints. We used to be sent for reading. Like, my parents would say, oh, you should go for a reading, the way that your parents would take you to the dentist. You know, you would go in for checkups. You know, whenever you were at crossroads or you just wanted to know what was going on, my mother would say, oh, go for a reading. Or my father, go for a... These things are supposed to be all-knowing and all-powerful. When I've gone in for readings, I've always thought that Vanessa was taken care of. And I was never told, be careful with your sister. Not about the cancer, and surely not about the suicide.
When I do the ceremony of Batala, that's beautiful. It's beautiful, the ceremony and everything. And I think this is not the same when people say it's voodoo, it's something bad. Kill chicken, kill that. That's not what I see. He sing to you in the head, he do something in your head because your head is the brain. And you believe in when you born with some destiny and some angel is with you.
I want to hear about how your dad found Santeria.
So my father used to suffer from migraines, debilitating migraines, just in bed, lights off, you know, suffering with a half dollar on his forehead and the smell of Tiger Balm and Bengay everywhere. He would throw up, you know, the whole classic migraine sufferer's story. My father never believed in anything. He was worse than an atheist. He had no doubt that God did not exist, that this was all bullshit and people are idiots, and that's what he would tell you.
Where did he grow up?
In Havana. He grew up in Havana, on the streets. And he lived with these other boys. They would steal, you know, food and money and things like that to support themselves. It was a very rough childhood that he had. You know, he was poor. He was a poor street kid. So never believed in anything, everything, you know, religion was bullshit, all that. Yes. He's having his migraines, and he works in New York City in Tribeca. He always worked in factories that made books, book binderies. He says that he's on the subway, and this woman comes up to him and says, you're going to suffer from these headaches until you get right with God and start practicing your spiritual gifts. But you know, I'm sure he said a lot of choice words. And then he says he just remembers being knocked out on the floor, out cold, and waking up in the hospital. You know, like the pain was just like so severe, it knocked him out. And then he was like, oh, maybe there's something to what this woman said. And then started investigating, you know, Santeria specifically. And not so much as a headache, nothing ever again.
Did he tell you about this when
you
got home?
Yeah, this was like a big thing for him. He would tell everybody, almost like somebody that's find salvation in Jesus, like that type of thing. That was him. And my father told me before he died, he goes, I've got 10 months. He goes, in 10 months, you know, I will die. And he did.
Hey Jeff, this is Maritza, and I found the notebook of the readings given to my father about the warnings of the future and things that he can and cannot do. And I wrote down and translated a couple of them. And the number one was, take care of your children. Then it's that he needs to take a bath of ofun, which is a mixture of pigweed, amaranthus, castile soap flakes, ashes and dirt from his godfather's house. His pajamas must always be white. He cannot sleep with all the lights turned off. Be careful of cancer. He mustn't drink or work at night. And he mustn't let other people's children sleep in his bed. He was forbidden from eating any type of bean. And he was forbidden from horseback riding. So hopefully that helps you with your program.
I'll tell you, I'll rewind. Michelle, she is super into Santeria. You need history, you need stuff. She's the opposite of us. Like, I'm not into this, she's into it. Yeah. So Michelle got into it, and she does my reading. This is after my father died. And she says, now I've always had problems in this basement with water coming in. I've spent a lot of money on this French drain system. And she says to me, I see the spirit of your father telling me to take care of the sewer before the winter. This is a few years ago. He sees terrible things happening, stuff like that. So I'm always having the sewer looked at.
What would your dad say the problem is?
Oh, my father would freak out. But the belief is that when you have water troubles in the house, that they're taking the hit for you. You know, so it's better that your basement flood, that you don't have an aneurysm. I don't know. A few weeks ago, I had the sewer looked at, and they find a little thing that I should take care of in a few years. Not now, not tomorrow, but now I'm freaking out, and it's made me so anxious that I'm selling the house.
What is like the stated goal of Santeria?
So in Christianity, it's all long-term. It's your spiritual life. No, this doesn't count. You know, we're all working toward not sinning, being good, because we're going to be held accountable and accounting will be done with Santeria. It's very much here today, now. Like I would do something, call somebody in like Michelle and say, I want to sell this house for top dollars, that somebody come in and not see any of the defects, and let's go. And she would do her thing and tell me, all right, you know, that'll take two chickens, a goat, a basket of apples, whatever, $250, you got it, and it's supposed to happen.
Michelle, this is Jeff Ammann.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for chatting with me. I do really appreciate you taking some time here. Could you actually introduce yourself? Could you say your name and who you are?
My name is Michelle Santana, and I am a psychic medium, clairvoyant. You know, that's what I do for as far as my line of work is concerned.
How did you meet Maritza?
I met her in high school, you know, through my brother. She was a very dear friend of my twin brother, and we did know each other, you know, quite well.
And did you know her dad?
I did. I did know her father.
You know that Maritza's dad was a Palero, yeah?
Right. So some people are destined to be Paleros, and some people are just destined to be, you know, Santeros. There is a difference, you know, and it depends on the deity that's guarding your head. And, again, what your destiny is. Follow isn't a bad thing. It's just how you use it is important, I think, in my opinion. You know, what you choose to, how you choose to use your gift can either be very powerful in a good way or very powerful in a very bad way.
What is Palo?
What is what?
Palo.
Palo. Palo is working with the dead. So my father specifically was a Palero, so he would be the one that works between this world and the world of the dead, but the dark, almost like the dark arts. That part is very secretive, and I don't know anything about it, and that part of it wasn't anything I liked. It was scary and dark, and he would be the one that if something, you know, needs to be done in a cemetery with bones, with dead things, and that's where the voodoo part comes in. Now, my father always said that he would never do something to hurt anyone. He would not do something that he would not want done to himself.
Milo scares me a little bit. I gotta be honest with you.
Why does it scare you?
I think, you know, people ask for certain things. I'm just an example. They want to stay in a relationship, or they want to keep a person close to them. And then you're doing bindings and things of that nature. I don't believe in that. I don't think anybody should be bound. I wouldn't want to have that karma on me, you know, like anything you do in this life is going to come back to you. So you have to be very mindful of what you do. And, you know, Palo exists and you know, voodoo exists and bad things, people do bad things to other people and it happens, you know, it doesn't last forever, but people have the power to do that. It's more powerful when a palero can, you know, does something for you than somebody else in the Santeria religion.
Hmm.
That's my understanding of it. You know, he had, I guess, powers to you know, excuse my language or French, you know, fuck shit up if he really wanted to, but he chose not to, you know.
When I was looking into Palo, I found a website where you could buy human skulls imported from Haiti. And I looked into it and it is legal. It is legal to import human remains.
Yeah, I didn't know that. But my father has here in the basement, I'm not going to show it to you because I don't like looking at it. It looks like a stereotypical cauldron in black metal. And it's a supposedly, they tell me that it has bones and things in it. You know, I need to dig a hole in my backyard and deconsecrate it, bury it respectfully, and return it to the earth. That's going to be fun.
Wait, aren't you going to get in trouble?
With whom?
Well,
city officials or...
I mean, you can't just... Aren't there also like tons of laws around getting rid of human remains?
Yeah, but you know, this is what is required in Santeria. What is required for me to do I don't know if that thing has human remains. If my father got rid of it before he died, knowing that I'd have to deal with it, and he took care of everything else, I can't imagine that he didn't make that safe for me to dispose of. But that's what is required for me in as far as Santeria goes, that I have to, you know, dig a hole and just bury it properly, nicely, you know, respectfully.
The faith requires you to do this.
Yeah.
But you don't believe in the faith.
No, but I don't want to be, but that's where you get like, you don't want to mess around either, just in case. You know, and also I want to be respectful to this, to my father, to other people. I'm not going to throw it in the garbage like that. That wouldn't be right. But there is the element of, I don't want to mess with this. You know, what if, and it gets a little scary. You know, so what if this thing does have powers? You know, and what if things do go wrong because I didn't do the right thing? So I am not so resolute in my not believing. There's always that seed of doubt with me, you know, that what if, you know, which is what I wrestle with.
Tell me about Vanessa. Who was she?
Oh my goodness. So she was born when we were adults. So this was like change of life baby. And I mean, she was absolutely beautiful as a baby, precocious, smart, and just a very sad, sad little girl. You know, she had a lot of social anxiety, depression. It's not that she had these issues and we ignored them or we didn't know. I mean, we worked with Vanessa, with doctors and stuff to get her the help that she needed, you know. When she moved to Minnesota, she joined a Lutheran church and she really loved it. You know, she loved the community. She married Paul. I thought that he was really good. He was very good to her when she had cancer. He was very good in helping me care for my father before he passed. I want to judge him harshly, but I can't. You know, I know that marriages and relationships are complicated, and I don't know the whole story. I wasn't married to Vanessa. He was. And she became pregnant, And she was miserable from the first day. And she just, you know, I started piecing things together, trying to figure it out. She was just in a very dark place after having the baby. She was in treatment in a group for mothers with postpartum. She was under a psychiatrist care, in therapy. There was pills everywhere in that house. When I cleaned up after she died, she would ignore the baby and she would draw, because she had journals and journals just filled and filled and filled, pages filled with her writing. And it seems that she would be not taking care of the baby and just writing or drawing, sketching and stuff. A very, very manic period that she kept to herself. And it was an arsenal in their house of guns. It was ridiculous. You know, I know that she wanted a gun, and her husband, they're very pro-gun. They have an assault rifle, bullets everywhere. From what I saw that they had two regular guns. The one that Vanessa used to shot herself would be three, and an assault rifle in the house in plain view. Boxes and boxes of bullets. You know, why would you have those next to the TV set? You know, I don't get it. I think I blame her husband for being irresponsible and knowing that she was not well. He didn't put those guns away. The gun was where Vanessa could reach it. I think that they had a troubled marriage, but so do a lot of people who don't kill themselves. I think she was especially vulnerable, and it's hard to live with somebody like that. I get it. You know, the only way to understand a suicide is that it's that person feels it's the only decision, the only option for them at that moment. Of course, if she would have waited to the next day, things would have been different. You know, if she would have just waited till the morning, it's an irrational choice, but you're in an irrational state, you know, and of course she didn't think of you or me or how it would hurt us or what would happen to the baby. That's not what people who are committing suicide think about, you know. They probably think that everyone is better off, or the way to stop their sadness, their despair, is through suicide. Obviously, you know, when he tells us this happened, I cleaned up the house, tried to put some order to it, and we buried her.
I can explain to you when something is punch your heart and your mind and everything, because I say, why? Why I don't have a dream before it happened? Why they don't give me some advice? I don't have an answer. And that's... I'm make with everything. And I don't know now. I'm make with God and with the Santo. He gave me Vanessa and then she died. So awful. And I don't believe it no more. It's very hard for me. My life is so sad. I don't believe in nothing. And I say, I'm sorry, God. I'm sorry. But my heart is broken.
You and your mom, did you leave the faith around the same time?
I think around the same time, because since I'm the one here, we would talk, you know, and then sooner or later it came up, like, where were the warning signs? And I would look at it practically, like, go over my emails, go over my chats with Vanessa, and not finding that those clues. And then, like with any major thing that happens in this family, You know, we always say, what did the Ifa say? Did it ever warn us? But in this case, it's nothing. Nothing was ever told to her. Nothing was ever told to me. When I've gone to Michelle for readings and stuff, she's never brought it up. And I've had like a million readings done by people that are talented or whatever, or gifted, people who aren't, you know, from top to bottom, you know, every type and stuff. And no one has ever, ever said anything like that.
You know, one thing that Mirtha was telling me about, you know, was like her mom had this book, her dad had this book, and they gave her and her family like sets of specific warnings, you know, because it's written in the book.
Right.
One thing Mirtha said like really led to her and her mother's loss of faith was that, you know, the death of her youngest sister, which was not written about anywhere in these notebooks that they had, and the sense of betrayal from that.
Right, right. I can understand their loss of faith in that, but I also feel like as a medium, we sometimes cannot control other people's destiny. We're part of the collective, you know, and she chose to be born to this woman and to this man and into this family. But unfortunately, from what I believe and what I know, some people are destined to die by suicide. Some people are destined to die by accident. Some people are destined to die a certain way, cancer or being sick or being murdered, sadly enough. It's horrible to say that because I find it difficult to say that, but that's just the way it is. It wasn't meant to rattle her family, what happened to her sister. That's like, God forbid, something happened to one of my kids, and I can't take away what my child's destiny is. All I was a vehicle to bring a child into the world and to nurture them and love them and hope that they live a good moral character and good moral life. And that's as much as I could do, but you know what I mean?
I think this is something that you and I perceive in different ways. Like you talk about like there being people born who are like destined to be murdered or destined to die by suicide. And that's like a hard pill for me to swallow. That seems like it could lead to all sorts of problems.
Sure. I'm not saying that it's right. Trust me, that's horrible. It is a hard pill to swallow when you watch, like, why do these bad things happen? It stinks. And no one wants to hear that because what we want is our loved ones to be here. You know, my mother was a wonderful woman. You know, she died asphyxiated. She had a bleed in her lung and she died. And I had to witness that. Why did I have to witness that? So it's a decision that we're making. It's a choice. Just like her sister may have made a choice, you know, in a split second, you know, we're human beings, you know, she acted by impulse, you know, she reacted with her heart. And I think that the balance, and this isn't especially in Santería or Ifa or whatever, there needs to be a balance between the head and the heart, you know, and if one is off, then things like that happen, you know.
I feel like both you and your mother claim strong atheism, and but then there's these like little moments
of, because that's being neurotic. It's like, you know, I'm pushing it away because I'm afraid of it. At least I recognize it now. And my friend Michelle, she has a lot of faith that it all works out. I take the doom and gloom part of it. My sewer's going to explode and now I'm going to have a kitchen fire. Thanks, Jeff. You know, so I guard against it, you know. I think we create a lot of our own issues. Like, of course this house is going to have a problem with the sewer. It's a common problem. But fate had nothing to do with it. You know, like Michelle saying that my father says, that was 5 years ago. Why didn't he tell me, take care of your sister? Not the sewer.
Hey, Jeff, this is Maritza. What did I do with the cauldron? Well, it was several cauldrons, and I did, as Michelle said, I did my best. I buried it, And inside was a toy gun, like one of those little kid cowboy revolvers, some horseshoes, railroad spikes, nothing extremely scary except for the ram's horns that were in them, but there was no scary bones or things tied up in bundles or anything witchy like that. So it wasn't as terrible as I thought it was going to be, you know, but I just buried it in the yard as deep as I could with as much love and respect for my father's things, you know, as something that was very sacred to him, and I tried to do it honorably and respectfully. You asked me if I believe in destiny, and that Michelle says that people are predestined to live and die in certain ways. And I don't believe that, because I think that if there is a big creator in the sky that caused our existence into being, you know, what fun is that if you already know how the game is going to be played out? I do think that we're able to control our outcomes.
My name is Jeff Entman, and I produce this episode of Here Be Monsters. If you're feeling suicidal, or if you're experiencing postpartum depression, there are people who want to help. We have links to phone numbers you can call over on our website, which is hbmpodcast.com. You know, as I was working on this episode, and I was talking to Florencia and Maritza and Michelle, I was reminded of that episode that I worked on about a year ago, episode 85, Ascended Fiction. Scientology is different because it's entirely top-down belief structure, and Santeria and Paulo and related religions seem much more lateral. There's no pope, there's no president, the religious texts differ by region and country. And in working on this episode, the people I talked to all considered Santeria and Paulo to be just different sides of the same coin. But that doesn't actually seem to be a universal belief. And so if you practice or used to practice any of the religions that we talked about in this episode, we'd love to hear your thoughts. We're on Twitter at HBMPodcast, and we're on Facebook and Instagram too. Music on this episode came from Circling Lights, The Black Spot, and Sarocell. Again, my name is Jeff Entman, and I produce this show with help from Bethany Denton. Here Be Monsters is distributed by KCRW. Our senior editor there is Nick White. We get additional support for freelance contributions from KCRW's Independent Producer Project. Thanks for listening. More episodes soon.